Did God create us just so he could show Satan's true nature?
Is it possible to forgive someone and not forget what they did to you?
Our guests answer these interesting questions and others, so get ready. I'm Inkosi Plummer.
And I'm Ruben Covarrubias. Bible Help Desk is just getting started.
Welcome to Bible Help Desk. Ruben, I can't get over the fact that I get to be a part of a program that gets to share the love of God. People send in their questions and then they get the answers. Wow.
Yeah, I know. For me, ever since being at the beginning of this show, every time I host and I hear questions, I'm just enriched with the answers that we get. And so it makes me dive into God's word even more.
Yes, yes.
So keep those questions coming. You can text us or call in with your questions at 833-BIBLE-HD or send it in via Facebook, Instagram, or our website, hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk. Don't forget to leave us an email so we can contact you right back. So Inkosi, who is answering our questions today?
So joining us today is Dr. Ivan Amanya. Dr. Amanya is an ordained pastor and board-certified chaplain and pastoral counselor. His ministry has spanned both his home country of Venezuela as well as the United States. He is currently the president of the Adventist Chaplaincy Institute here in Silver Spring, Maryland. Welcome, Dr. Amanya.
Thank you, Inkosi. It's a pleasure to be here.
Also joining us today is Dr. Glenn Russell. Dr. Russell is currently an emeritus professor of religion at Andrews University in Michigan. He was born in Egypt to missionary parents and earned a Doctor of Ministry degree with an emphasis on missions and ministry. He is an author and the host of the Media Ministry Scriptural Pursuit. Welcome, Dr. Russell, to the program.
Thank you. Delighted to be here. I love looking for answers in the Bible, but keep finding more questions.
Fantastic.
Let's go. So we're going to jump into the scripture of the day. It's taken from Ephesians 2:8-9. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Here's the thing. There's nothing that we can do to attain God's love because God loves us regardless. And it takes the pressure off, you know? I feel like I have to do this and that so that God can love me more. But the truth is that God already loves you so much, more than you can even think or fathom. So as we jump into this program today, let's focus on how much God loves us. Let's pray. Lord, Father, thank you for your incredible love. Lord, you love us. You loved us before we even knew what love was. You knew us before we even knew who we are, who we were. And we just want to say thank you for creating us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to dive into your word and to get a better understanding of who you are. So, Lord, as we continue with this program, I just pray and ask for your Holy Spirit. Lord, speak through the guests, speak through us, Lord. And may whoever's hearing or listening just gain a better understanding and a closer walk with you. Thank you for your incredible love towards us. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, Ruben, I know that we have some really good questions today.
Yeah, let's go ahead and jump into that first one. And it comes to us via text. And it says, if God knew we would sin and the world would be so full of suffering and pain, why did he create us? He knew we would be weak. Were we created just so he could show Satan's true nature? Well, thank you for that question. And it is a question I'm sure some of us have asked. You know, this world is full of pain. This world is full of suffering. And God, we believe, knew that. So, Dr. Amanya, I want to start with you. It's almost as if we're questioning God's wisdom in creating us and creating this world since it's full of suffering. So what does the Bible say about this?
The first thing we need to make clear from the very beginning is that coming out of the hands of God at the time of creation, one thing happens every day. If you read the Genesis story, you will find that at the end of every day, God looks at his creation and says, oh, this is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And then goes into creating on the sixth day, creating the human beings. And coming out of the hands of God, human beings were good. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says that God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the earth, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So, coming out of the hands of God, we were perfect. We were nice. We had perfection. Then, there's something that God introduced that was, if you will, the door that was open. If we go to verse 29, God said, see, I have given you herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Mm-hmm. And then we jump to chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him on the Garden of Eden to tend and keep. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. You know, it goes back to the verse, the 29th verse we just read. But verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Mm. The point here is God made everything perfect with the hope that it would stay perfect.
Yeah.
But you see, if you go on reading, chapter 3 of Genesis tells us the story that Adam and Eve, both of them, ate of the fruit that they were asked not to eat. They made a choice. Mm. So the choice that we made damaged everything God created.
Yeah.
Broke everything God created. Now, this is not about showing Satan his salvation plan. Salvation plan was something God put into place in case sin entered the picture.
Mm. Yeah.
But God's plan never included the sin of humanity. Never included us breaking what God had made perfect.
Wow. Yeah. Well, thank you, Dr. Amani, for sharing that. And, you know, and Cozy, it just reminds us of how God always has us in mind.
Yeah.
And God has a plan for us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really glad that this viewer sent in this question because, yeah, we do have these questions sometimes. What was God really thinking? And we can see that God always thinking of us. So, now, Dr. Russell, I want to turn to you. What else you can add to this question? When it comes to just the pain and suffering that we have, what was God thinking? What else does the Bible say?
We have to reflect, this is a mystery. We don't understand everything, but we do know one thing. God didn't create us to be robots. He created us with free will and the power of choice. Love requires choice.
Yes.
He wanted to create beings whom he could love, and that means you have to give them choice. You can't love without a choice, and choice always includes a risk.
Yeah.
And so he took that risk because he loves us.
Wow. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Russell, for that great point there at the end. He took that risk because he loves us.
Hey,
what a great
amen.
Reminder. Thank you so much. What else do we have?
We have a voicemail here paraphrased just from Sharon. It says, is it possible to forgive someone and not forget what they did to you? You know, that's a great question. Thank you for sending that question in, Sharon. It's a question of forgiveness. You know, we all need forgiveness. Dr. Russell, what does the Bible have to say about this question?
What a great question. And this one we could easily have several programs on, but let's try to just focus in on it for a few moments. Peter came to Jesus one time and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? This is in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Peter's generous. People in those days said, eye for an eye, forgive once, you know, or revenge. And some said, well, no, three times. And Peter says, no, seven times. And then Jesus says, I say not unto you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. In other words, forgiveness should be unlimited.
Yeah.
But now let's bring that into practical dimensions of our lives. Sometimes the hardest forgiveness is to forgive ourselves. Yeah. We've messed up. We know that, yes, someone else did some things, but we had a part to play in it as well. We need to let God wash away the shame and the guilt of our own choices and responsibilities. Mm. But I want to make sure we don't misunderstand. Forgiveness does not mean to condone or to excuse or to allow abuse to continue.
Right.
If there's an abusive situation, a person needs to get out of it and not just say, well, I'll keep forgiving and forgiving and how come I have these feelings? No, it doesn't mean to excuse abuse. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness needs to have boundaries. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there has to be a confrontation. There has to be justice. But forgiveness is an act of faith, not feelings. I want to make sure we catch that. Forgiveness is an act of faith, not feelings. Mm-hmm. Feelings may take a while to come along. I remember a time when someone hurt me fairly significantly, and I had to forgive them even though I didn't feel like it. It took a long time for the feelings to come around. And thank God, because of him, those feelings have been transformed. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness says God is the ultimate judge. Forgiveness is not amnesia.
Yeah.
It doesn't take out our memory, but it takes the sting out of the offense. I remember it, but no longer do I have the anger, the frustration, the helplessness, because forgiveness lets go of the pain so we can move forward. We don't need to remain as a victim.
Right.
Now, that's not natural. That requires God working in our hearts. Mm-hmm. But if we refuse to forgive, we just keep on hurting ourselves. It's like drinking poison and wondering why the other person doesn't die. Mm. You know, forgiveness moves you beyond the identity as I'm a victim and now says I can move forward as a child of God. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is a choice to experience God's healing in our minds, in our hearts.
Wow.
Jesus on the cross is the best example. He prays, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, he felt the nails in his hands. He felt the crown of thorns on his head. He felt all those things, but in fact, he forgave. The feelings, they would come later, but he acted in faith and in love.
Mm. Thank you so much for sharing that, Dr. Russell. Dr. Amanya, is there anything that you would like to add on this as well, on forgiveness?
If I may come back to the last point Dr. Russell made, Jesus uttered those words, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, as he was being nailed to the cross.
Wow.
God himself showed us what forgiveness is about. You see, one of the biggest problems we face is that we tend to think that forgiveness is about releasing the person from their behavior. But that's not true. Forgiveness is about releasing myself from the pain that the behavior caused me. So, yes, it is possible. And as a matter of fact, I would like to suggest that it is mandatory. If you read the story that's right there in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, read the whole chapter until the end, verse 35, it finishes. But if you read the story, you will find that Jesus said, if you do not forgive others as you have been forgiven, you will not receive forgiveness.
Thank you so much for that answer, Dr. Amanya. Ruben, I'm just thinking about forgiveness. And a lot of times people feel stuck. They feel like they can't forgive, you know. But it's going back to a choice, you know. We do have a choice to love. We do have a choice to forgive. It's our God-given power.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So claim that and reclaim that in the name of Jesus. We're about to take a break now, but don't forget to check out the Bible study resources that we have at hope.study. There is everything from a downloaded Bible Heroes game to study guides about Christians and depression. Plus, there are new studies being added regularly.
If you're looking for a more traditional way to study, we also have free Bible study guides that we can mail to you in North America. Call and leave us your address and we will get those out to you right away. So we're going to take a short break right now, but we'll be right back with more of your Bible questions. So don't go anywhere.
Well,
Welcome back to Bible Help Desk. Remember, you can call or text us your questions at 833-BIBLE-HD or find us on Facebook, Instagram, or our website at hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk. Then tune in to see if one of our guests answers your question.
Our guests answering your questions today are Dr. Omanya and Dr. Russell.
All right, let's jump into the next question. We have a text from Daniel. It says, I believe that at the close of time, Jesus will take his people out before what comes next because they are not going to be able to handle what is about to happen. What do you think? All right. Thank you for sending in this text, Daniel. Dr. Russell, what does the Bible have to say about this? Is Jesus going to take people out? What's going to happen?
Well, you know, we'd have to ponder, what does that expression, take them out? I think it means to rescue them or to keep them from the tribulation. I would like to suggest that that might be reflected in what some people refer to as the rapture, that God's people will be taken out before the final tribulation. But perhaps we need to think of things a little differently. Is God limited in his power to sustain his people? Can he sustain us through no matter what comes? I think of three verses of scripture that help me here. First of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, powerful statement. No temptation has overcome you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength. Mm. But with the temptation will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. So with every temptation, there's a way of escape. Now and in the final crisis, there will be a way of escape. And that way of escape comes from total surrender and depending upon the Lord. Mm-hmm. Throughout history, God's people have endured. They've endured the most terrible situations. Joseph in prison, Daniel in the lion's den, the Hebrews in the fiery furnace, Jeremiah cast into the dungeon, the disciples, all of them suffered for their faith. Jesus himself died. So God did not always save or pull out his people. He saved them in their troubles instead of out of their troubles. Mm-hmm. Two more verses of scripture. Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. And I think this speaks very directly to the question. I said to him, this is John the Reveler asking the question, sir, you know, and he said to me, this divine revelation, these are they who have come out of what? The great tribulation. Mm-hmm. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So we can go through even the great tribulation if we've washed our robes, if we've been cleansed and have the righteousness of Jesus Christ in our lives. And then Revelation chapter 14, verse 4 describes the same group again and says, these are those who have not defiled themselves. It is these who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. The only way to get through tribulation is not to get out, but to get close to Jesus and follow him wherever he goes.
Thank you so much for that answer, Dr. Russell. Hey, I want the righteousness of Jesus.
Yes.
Listen, during the time of tribulation, I want the righteousness of Jesus. Dr. Omanya, do you have anything to add to this question?
I like the way Dr. Russell put it at the end. The only way is with Jesus. Mm. But I also want to add, the only way is through the tribulation with Jesus. Mm. You can't jump around it. You can't. You have to go through it, but you have to go through it with Jesus.
That's a fact. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Omanya. Listen, if we're going through the tribulation, we need Jesus.
I'm just loving these answers.
Yeah,
I can sit
same here
just listen. But we have to jump into a next question.
Yes.
That comes to us via text. And it says, can God the Father look upon sin? What a straightforward question here. And I'm just going to turn straight to you, Dr. Omanya. What does the Bible say about this? What does this question mean? Can God the Father look upon sin?
Well, I think that the viewer is asking if God can stand in the presence of sin, or if God can go through seeing sin. Mm. Well, I have to take the answer from a perspective of God needs to deal with the problem of sin. Mm-hmm. And the way God deals with the problem of sin is very clearly stated in the Bible. It begins in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, it says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Mm-hmm. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So the answer is, yes, God has to deal with the problem of sin and has to tackle the problem. That's why he uses the term, let us reason together. Let us, you know, but it doesn't stay there. Let me go on. If we go to 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, then we have a New Testament version of what Isaiah is saying in the Old Testament. And look what he says. If we say that we have no sin, we've deceived ourselves and the truth is not in us. Oh, okay. So the truth is that we are sinners. Okay. If we confess our sins, he, who is he? God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. In other words, we have to bring our sinful life before God, and God will deal with our sin and make us clean. But the only way is if we come to God. So can God deal with sin? Yes, indeed. One more verse. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, the word all, what does that mean? All means all. There's not one person walking the face of the earth who has not sinned. But we are being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. So God, I love the way Paul is explaining this, because God is the only one who can deal with the problem of sin. Let me give you one more example now that we have a little bit of time. You remember when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit? The first result of eating that forbidden fruit is that the Bible says that their eyes were opened and they saw that they were naked. And then they started to try to resolve the problem on their own. The Bible says that they tried to cover their nakedness with fig leaves or something like that. Now you tell me, how were they able to sew without needle and a thread? Were they able to resolve the problem of their nakedness?
No.
If you go on in the Bible, you find that it is God who solves their problem. How? God killed an innocent animal and took the skin of that animal and covered their nakedness.
Wow.
That's how God deals with the problem of sin.
Wow.
He covers our sin with his righteousness.
Amen.
Wow, Dr. Umanya, thank you so much for just eloquently taking us through this journey on a question of God being with us in our sin. And I just kept hearing how God is in the midst of all of that. You know, in Kose, sometimes we want to hide our mess from God. Sometimes we want to not show him what's happening, but he wants to be in there because he is the solution to all of that. Wow, thank you so much, Dr. Umanya. Dr. Russell, anything else you'd like to add to this question, the simple question of God the Father, can he look upon sin?
What an excellent answer from Dr. Umanya. I would just add, you know, it's amazing to me. Adam and Eve have sinned just as was described. What does God do? He comes looking for them in the garden. Where are you? You know, he's not saying, okay, I'm not looking anymore. He comes looking. And over again in the scriptures, it says God looks down upon Israel on the Tower of Babel, Sodom and Gomorrah. Whenever he looks, he's about to do something. He's about to intervene. He's about to act as part of his salvation plan. And I'm so thankful that, yes, he can look at me, a sinner. And he can look at you, and he can look at each one of us. And he looks at us through eyes filled with love, as a parent looks upon a child who's messed up. They don't turn their face away. They look and they love. Jesus looked at the city of Jerusalem near the end of his ministry, he sees their present condition, he sees their future sorrows, and he weeps. He sees the realities, but he looks with love.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Russell, for that that great addition to this question. Yeah. Well, and Jose,
yeah.
Can we squeeze one more question in?
Yeah, let's squeeze this last question in. It says, I do believe that Jesus' temptations were different from ours. How are we tempted to use divinity after 40 days of fasting to turn stones into bread or to jump off the cliff and to bow down to Satan? Mm. So, Dr. Amanya, I believe the question is, how were Jesus' temptations similar to ours?
Well, I think this is a question that comes from someone who has read in the Bible, and especially in the book of Hebrews, says that Jesus was tempted in our likeness, similar to us, but he was without sin. Now, the viewer is actually giving the answer within the question. Because you see, I have yet to know one person walking the earth that will be able to turn stones into bread. Right. But Jesus was capable of doing that. Now, here's the thing. The temptation is for him to use his God power, God-given power, to feed himself, to solve a problem for himself. And the temptation repeats over and over again. Go and jump out of the temple, because the angels will be sent to save you. Or, kneel down before me. The temptation is according to the power of Jesus. Satan is trying to make Jesus use his power for his own benefit. Mm. Now, that is a temptation that you and I can relate with, but in a different level.
Yeah.
So I think that's what the viewer is asking.
Thank you so much, Dr. Amanya, for that answer. Very quickly, Dr. Russell, do you have anything that you would like to add as well?
Such a good answer. Such a great question. The bottom line is that Matthew 4, the temptations of Jesus, dealt with the same issues we face on a different level, as Dr. Amanya said. The temptation was, how will you use your life, your abilities? Will you use it for yourself to fulfill your desires, to self-glorify, or to worship that which is the easy way, take the easy way out? Jesus was tempted to use his divinity, but he never used it for himself. He would only use his divinity to come and to serve us. He set aside his divinity. He was a vulnerable human being. But he came and suffered temptation. He knows what we're going through, as Hebrews 4 says, and tempted in every respect, yet without sin. Thus, he can be our Savior.
Thank you so much, Dr. Russell and Dr. Amanya, for those answers. Reuben, I'm filled.
I'm filled as well. And it's been a great program. And I want to thank our viewers for watching as well. We'll see you again next time. Take care.